What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
303 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lukey. It is After Hours, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It was the best win of the year for the Mets. It was a walk-off win. Carson Bench playing hero once again. The comeback kids, especially when you consider how well Ewing has played, and he's been not only a great player on the field, showing a ton of poise with the walks and a home run, a triple, the stolen bases, just showing the full arsenal. But he's also been a good luck charm because the team has now taken off ever since he's come up to the bigs. Bench, who's been their best hitter for about a month now, has been terrific. And I know he's dropped a couple of fly balls, and he certainly needs to correct that. But he's had how many great catches, which to me offsets that. Like, he's had a few catches this year that very few, if any other outfielders, would have made. So he saved runs in those spots. He got outs in those spots. And as much as you don't want to drop fly balls, and I'm sure he's going to correct it, I'll let it slide when you consider the amazing catches that he has made. And I certainly, and nobody can take away what he has done at the plate, which has been absolutely amazing. So Benj, once again, plays hero. What stood out to me after this victory, and it's something that I want to shine light on because people don't want to discuss this stuff. It's only the bad with Juan Soto. Everybody wants to paint him as a villain and a bad guy and a bad teammate and a selfish player and all he cares about is money. Did you see Juan Soto after this Mets win? Did you see the way he was celebrating with his teammates? Did you see the way he embraced Carson Bench? Got him in a big old bear hug and lifted him off the ground. That's a guy who loves being a Met. That's a guy that's a great teammate. That's a guy that is so excited for the future and present of this team. Juan Soto himself told you that last week. One of the reasons he signed with the Mets is because of their bright future. And I know there's a witch hunt out there for people that have agendas against Juan Soto that want to label him a bad guy, selfish, poor teammate. Juan Soto is a great teammate. Juan Soto loves his teammates. And he was right there in the middle of it, embracing Carson Bench. Embracing being a Met. So hopefully, we can shine here on After Hours some light on that, because nobody else seems to want to. And we can highlight Juan Soto being a great guy, a great teammate, and somebody that loves being a Met. And hopefully, this can put an end to this stupid witch hunt that surrounds this guy. He made his choice. His choice was the Mets. He loves being here, and he is showing it on the field as he is embracing, like we all are, the baby Mets, this youth movement, the comeback kids. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mark in Bayside. What's up, Mark?
Hi, how you doing, Lugie?
Hey, what's up?
Well, first I'll tell you what I really like about you. You're a very passionate sports fan. I like it when you do the positive Tommy thing. Hey. I'm a positive guy. I happen to be a Yankees fan, but I like your attitude, your love of sports. We're both Knicks and Giant fans, so we do agree on certain things.
Well, we're two out of three on that one, which I think is right. Gets in the Hall of Fame as far as fandom. I think we could definitely agree on that. We might not see eye to eye in baseball, but what we do see eye to eye in, Mark, is the positivity, and especially with baseball. We're talking about 162. We're talking about a long season. Look, the Yankees are going through it. They're going to be great. They're going to be in October. The Mets had a bad April. They're bouncing back here in May. Patience and positivity, I think, ultimately, number one, is the healthiest way to look at it. And number two, wins out more often than it doesn't because it is a long season and it's filled with a lot of peaks and valleys.
I agree. Well, the one thing I want to tell you about my take on the game today is it was a beautiful day for me, except for the role as a Yankee fan. But here's the thing.
Gorgeous weather, for sure.
I'm going to admit, well, I'm 70 years old. I feel like I'm 45. I lost 35 pounds.
God bless
last
you.
Year, which I don't
nice.
Mind telling you. Mm-hmm. It gave me a new life. Two, my passion for sports makes me feel younger. And I think that's a big thing. And that'll lead years.
Yeah,
to
well,
life.
Listen, age is just a number. It's more about how you feel. You could see a guy who's 35, right. He's limping around, he's got a bad back, or you could see somebody that's 70 that feels like they're 20. You know, it's just a number. It's all about your mental mindset and your physical mindset, you know?
Right, I agree. I know people that are younger complaining all the time. I never complain. Like today, I'll tell you what happened, okay? I left in the top of the ninth. Yankees are winning 6-3. You know, we wanted to beat the traffic, whatever. We thought the Yankees would win.
Mm-hmm.
And my fault, I'm looking at my phone, as a lot of people do, looking at the video, because I don't want to miss any of the action.
Yeah.
So what happens is just before the home run was hit, and this is crazy, I tripped and fell going to the car. There's a little step when you go into the parking lot at Citi Field. Two guys were very nice. They helped me up. I barely bruised my right leg. Fortunately, I was fine. I didn't break anything.
Merely a flesh wound.
Right, mainly a flesh wound. But what I learned from that experience is my friend Marty always tells me, be careful where you are and don't be always looking at your phone because you know, God forbid you get hit by a car or something. Who the hell knows? But I learned a lesson from that. But the thing I wanted to let you know is, which you'll find very interesting, is I lived in Bayside 47 years.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the Bronx. That's where my Yankee part comes from. But years ago, my grandfather, who lived to 92, he said to me when I was in my 20s, one day I came to his apartment, and he's watching the Mets. And I says, Grandpa, how come you're watching the Mets? I thought you were a Yankee fan. He says, you don't understand where I come from. I saw the Brooklyn Giants, Brooklyn Dodgers,
yeah.
The New York Giants, New York Yankees. And he's the kind of fan, even though he loved the Yankees and he was a diehard Yankee fan, he says, listen, I support my city's team.
Yeah, he didn't hate the other teams, and that kind of blossomed into the Mets. He doesn't hate. So, meaning like when the Subway Series now, if he was still around, he would embrace the Mets in a sense. He wouldn't root, he'd root for the Yankees, but he wouldn't want to see the Mets suffer. Let's put it that way. Hopefully, they play well but lose.
Well, I'm that way too. I mean, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm not a hypocrite, you know. I like to see the Mets do good.
Yeah, not everybody's like that, though. You know, there are battle lines. I've always said there'll never be peace. There are some that don't care about the other team or even root for them if they're not playing their team. And maybe more people should be like you. I don't know. But I also think it's fun, the rivalry and the hatred and stuff like that.
Right. The other thing I would say is I love Ben Rice. I mean, there's only one Juan Soto. I know that and all that. And listen, I love what he did for the Yankees when he was there. He got that big 3-run homer. People forget, to bring the Yankees to the World
Against
Series.
Cleveland. Yep.
And I don't know 100% if they would have made it without him. But turning the page, Ben, the new Yankees with Ben Rice, and Spencer Jones made a tremendous catch today. One thing about this kid, Spencer Jones, I mean, no disrespect, Ewing is going to be great. But Jones, I think, if he cuts down on the strikeouts, he's not just the hitter. The guy's a tremendous fielder.
Yeah, he's really good in the field.
Catch.
Yeah, he's got to cut down on the strikeouts. He's got to make more contact, which has been a bugaboo for him. When he does make contact, it goes a long way. But look, Judge struggled with that in the mind. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Judge, but Aaron became a great and complete hitter in the big league. Spencer Jones has a long way to go to that, but he's got to learn to cut down on the strikeouts, and he's got to get better with the contact. But defensively, you see some flashes. He's good out there, no doubt.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think it's the makings of what could be a good all-around player.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Dominguez, I like Dominguez, but he's not a complete player.
It's been stop and start with him, and that's unfortunate. And then here's another example where he gets an opportunity. He's going to have a runway because Stanton's out for a bit. And then he runs into the wall and makes a nice catch, and he's out, and it gives it an opportunity to Jones.
I'm not really bad about that.
Yeah, I know. It sucks because, obviously, he came with a ton of hype. He's still young. He brings a lot to the table. But at some point, you know, if the injuries continue to derail you, maybe it's just not going to make maybe he just won't make it here, but he can go somewhere else and be a productive player.
That's what I think. I think Dominguez might be better. The Yankees need relief pitching, maybe another closer.
True.
I think that Dominguez might be better in another place, but,
yeah,
you know, Spencer Jones, I think his future is here.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's a complete all-around player. That's what the Yankees need. But Rice, I love Ben Rice. I mean, I mean, from your perspective as a Mets fan and a baseball fan, you got to appreciate him as well.
Of course.
I mean, what he brings to
the
table.
No, absolutely. Look, he's been the MVP of the American League so far. He has been absolutely outstanding. He's just been all world. I expect it to continue. Even before the year, I predicted he would hit 40 home runs. I might have shortchanged him. He might go over that and clear that by a lot. He has been absolutely amazing for this team. He's still learning his position. I would even consider him putting him at catcher. But offensively, Ben Rice has been, at times, the best hitter on the team, and he's neck and neck with Judge, really, all year long as far as production.
And what I really love about him also, he's very enthusiastic. I like his attitude.
Yeah, him and Schlittler, I think, have been awesome. Like, you're talking about two of the youngest, best players in baseball right now, and that's a credit to not only Cashman, but the scouting and the coaching them up and getting them up here and all that development, the whole nine scouting. Those two guys, like Schlittler's just got an edge to him. Rice has got enthusiasm to him. Those are two pillars for this team, no doubt about it.
And the last thing I want to mention to you is I have a cat. It's amazing. I haven't had a cat in 40 years.
Really? You went 40 years without a cat? Wow.
Well, it's wild. I had a cat from the age of 10 to the age of 28.
Okay.
And I probably should have had one for years after, but whatever reason, I didn't have one.
Yeah, it happens.
I rent the room to someone who's in the process of getting divorced, so it was perfect for me, you know. And he got a cat, Bernice, but she said she just graduated in September. This was last year. Didn't have time to take care of it. He brought it to this apartment. Who do you think is the one that makes sure the cat is fed every morning?
Well, that'd be you.
Takes good care of it.
That'd be you.
Truly loves me. That's me. It's me. But I think eventually, when he moves, this cat is going to be mine. I mean, I love this cat.
That'd be great.
And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
that
cats
this cat came back into my life.
No doubt. Listen, Mark, they're companions, and they don't ask for much. That's the beauty of a cat. Clean their litter box. Play with the little toy. Like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Little feather on a pole. Like, my cat will kind of stalk it like he's a lion. Like, what are you, like a tough guy? Who do you think you are? He'll kind of like stalk it and then run and I'll move it and then all that stuff. My cat loves to be held, but remember, he's an aristocrat. He's a very expensive, very well-behaved, very friendly cat. He's almost like a dog in that sense. Like, he'll meet you at the door. If my wife and I are in another room and we're having a conversation and he's somewhere else, he'll meow until we go get him because he wants to be part of what's going on. He'll watch TV with us. Very, just the best. He now has discovered flies that have gotten into the apartment, which I blame my wife for. She'll act like she's the best because she'll go, well, how'd the fly get in the apartment? I go, well, what do you mean? It didn't knock on the door and open up. I didn't let it in. So clearly you kept, and I'm a big, and I just grew up this way. Some people didn't, but I did. I always shut all the doors and screen doors, especially in the summer. Bees can get in, flies can get in, and that's a pain in the ass. My wife will just leave all the doors open. She claims she doesn't, but I know she does. Very loose ship. I run a tight ship. Anywho, we've been having flies in the apartment lately, and my cat now will stalk the flies. It's like watching National Geographic. It's very, but then he jumps on all over the table, so we have to kind of reel him in a little bit. But I'm glad to hear that you've had this experience with the cat. And hopefully, yeah, hopefully you do end up either with adopting it or keeping the cat. The best part about the cat is you don't have to take it out for a walk. I always feel bad for the dog owners, especially in the winter. You see people freezing outside just to go walk the dog. And the dog's not going to make it up to you. What's he going to go take you for a walk at some point? While he's freezing? So that's not happening. They got to figure out a way for dogs to go to the bathroom inside. Like a doggy litter box. Like if a cat can figure it out, why can't the dog figure it out? That's the thing I don't understand. The cat goes to the bathroom inside. Why? Because it just does? That we just accepted that the cat has figured it out and the dog can't? When dogs are puppies, they go inside. Why can't there be a litter box for dogs? Now, I understand they're bigger than cats, so you'd have to get a big litter box, but okay, get a magic. Or just don't have a big dog. But for the small, like for a pug, why can't they have a litter box? And not everybody necessarily has a backyard where you could just throw the dog, not throw, but literally let the dog out in the backyard and they could just go to the bathroom out there and they go run back up to the door when they're ready to come back in. That works especially well in the winter. What about people that have dogs? Because this is the other thing, people that all have these dogs in the city. First of all, the apartments are shoeboxes. So you and the dog are essentially back-to-back, essentially walking around the apartment. And then you don't have backyards in the city for the most part. So you always have to take the dog out for a walk. And then the dog is on his time or her time, and they're just going to make you, you know, just stare at you as you're trying to get it to go to the bathroom. I have literally no idea when my cat goes to the bathroom. None. The only thing I'm responsible for is hitting the old litter box, because it's automatic, once a day. When I wake up, boom, I hit it, and that's it. And there's really just that line of when you take the dog out to go to the bathroom that you have to, like, also clean it up with your hands. I know you have, like, a glove on or something, but come on. I mean, this is just, what are we doing? That's a big step in the male relationship, cleaning up poop. Where with the cat, especially you have and I recommend this to all my fellow cat owners, to get the electronic litter box, because you just hit a button, it cleans everything up, and then there's like a bottom thing you take out every once a month or something and you clean, but not that big of a deal. But yeah, doggy litter box. Perhaps I should invent that. Because I'm trying for the side businesses. I thought I'd be the first ever sports talk radio gigolo, which means you would pay for you and I to go to a game together. You would pay for the tickets. You would pay for all the food and everything. And you would get in return my company, a sports talk radio gigolo or an escort. I don't know what the PC word is these days, but either way. So far, that hasn't taken off yet. I also didn't figure out a way to monetize it because you would be paying for the tickets. You would be paying for the alcohol or whatever, food, hot dog, the peanuts. But I wouldn't get any money. So really, it's more about me just going to the game for free. So I'm not getting any money off that. Perhaps I will start a doggy litter business where I create the first ever doggy litter. That'll be a huge success. Although there are advantages to walking your dog if you live in the city and you're single. How you doing? I mean, you might as well just put a sign up. It is a way for not only your dog to get in the mix a little bit with some female dogs, but it's also an opportunity for you to get in the mix with some of their owners, which isn't the worst thing. You go to a doggy park in the city when it's warm out. If you can't get a date there, then I don't know what to tell you. Especially if you have a cute little dog. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Speaking of dogs that do damage, we'll get into the Knicks here coming up as they are inching closer and closer to a game one at home. Schedule alert here. Every single, because I am Tommy, the fountain of information. Every single game in this series between the Knicks and Cavs will take place at 8 o'clock, which means more likely 8:15. So every game will tip off around 8:15. That includes Memorial Day. Game one is Tuesday. Game two is Thursday. And away we go. Saturday, Monday, and then a day off in between. I don't think the series is going very long. I think it'll be over in five, which means it will wrap on Wednesday of next week. That's my prediction. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to your calls if you want to weigh in on the Knicks, Mets, Yankees. A lot on the table here. Got you for another 90 minutes on After Hours, 5 a.m. Al and Jerry come your way at that time. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
327 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Loogie.
It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. This is a legacy series for Mike Brown. You know, up until this point, maybe they would have done it differently, but Tibbs would have the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. They would have won 50-something games with Tibbs. They would have beaten the Hawks. They probably would have beaten them in less than six games. And then they would have beaten the Sixers. So up until this point, now, they might not have been as dominating. It might not be with this type of three-point shooting. Certainly not with the depth, all of that. And the reasons you hire Mike Brown have been on full display in this seven-game playoff winning streak. Utilizing the bench, the three-point shooting, the unlocking of Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns playing his best basketball. And based on reports, you know, Kat went into Mike Brown's office and demanded the ball more. Look, credit to Mike Brown for listening. Because I always said it was a three-person blame for Kat not getting enough touches. It's on Brown, the coach, for sure, not utilizing him, drawing up plays. It's on Brunson for not having that chemistry or maybe a willingness to trust a Karl-Anthony Towns. And that goes for all his teammates. There is times where I think Brunson, and I get it, the weight of the world is on his shoulders. It's his legacy, much like with Aaron Judge. If this team doesn't win a championship, we'll talk about how Brunson didn't win a championship. We won't talk about necessarily, well, OG Anunoby didn't win a championship. Josh Hart didn't win a championship. It'll be on Brunson's shoulders because he's the star. The star. Cat's a star too, but it's Brunson's team. Not only having a deeper bench, but utilizing that bench. All of these things, working in a committee in terms of listening to the coaches on your staff and not necessarily being stubborn. And hey, this is my way. If it's not my way, it's the highway. All of those reasons are why you got rid of Tibbs and hired Mike Brown, so that Mike Brown could do all those things. And he's done that, especially in the last seven games, at the most important time of the year. And now he's four wins away from being in the good graces of Knick fans forever. You certainly want to win a championship, but to get to the finals and the first time in decades, you're in the good graces. On the flip side, if you lose the series, then the Tibbs supporters, and rightfully so, will be like, well, what'd you get rid of Tibbs for? He could have got you to the conference finals, especially if Mike Brown is out coached, and he would be in this spot because he has the better team. He has the better team. He has the deeper team. He has the tougher team. A team that should win this series in five, no worse than six. So a lot is on the line here with Mike Brown, who has handled himself all year with class, with dignity, even during the rough patches, and this is not an easy market, especially with the expectations that this team had. And at points it was ugly, especially around Martin Luther King Day when they lost at home to the Mavs and they had to call a team meeting. And there was even a radio host on this station that suggested Mike Brown was coaching for his job when he faced his Nets. Yeah. And here we are all these months later, and Mike Brown is four wins away from getting to the finals, eight wins away from a championship. His team is putting up historical numbers. They are clicking on all cylinders. Every facet of the game has been perfect in this winning streak. And the brand of basketball that they are playing has been the most dominant that I have seen in my lifetime. And it's been the most dominant of anybody's lifetime. When you consider 140 plus points in back-to-back closeout games, coupled with the great defense, prolific shooting, historical numbers, a 47-point lead at half in that game six against the Hawks, which was a record. Record shooting in game four against the Sixers, which was a closeout game. The absolute dismantling, destruction of Philly as a sports town at the hands of the Mike Brown Knicks. That was extra sweet. And that has all led to this. A game one at home, even though they were the three seed. Fortunately, the Pistons, which, I mean, what a joke, gutless, awful performance they had at home. Game seven in your building. You're down 30 in the fourth quarter. Your fans are leaving, and those that stayed are booing you out of the building. And this was supposed to be the team that everybody was afraid of. This was supposed to be the team that was standing in the Knicks' way. This was supposed to be the team that the Knicks had no shot against. And look how they struggled against the Pistons in the regular season. When they see them in the playoffs, it's going to be much of the same. This team wants their revenge and their lick back from last year. The big, bad Detroit Pistons. Well, that Piston team was lucky to get by Orlando. And then their luck ran out against Cleveland as they completely fell on their face in one of, if not the worst, Game 7 at home one seed performances in the history of the sport. Cade Cunningham, I still don't think, has a bucket in the second half. He might still be trying. He might still be in the gym. And everybody wanted to anoint Cade Cunningham as the next superstar in this league. They wanted to pass, you know, the national media. Oh, he's better than Brunson. He's great. He's the best. Okay. Okay. He's still got a long way to go. And he needs help in Detroit, that's for sure. Duncan Robinson is your offseason, and he's good, but he certainly kills the Knicks, but he's your big offseason acquisition. They need another star there with Cade, and it showed. And Cade's got to be better, too. Way too many turnovers, and Cleveland turns the ball over all the time as well. And obviously, you're going to have to deal with James Harden and his nonsense. It's not on the level of Embiid as far as... Embiid is just a jerk. We know that. He's a hypocrite. He's a baby. Tiki called him another B word, which certainly fits as well. Harden is just cagey. And he's going to get the whistle because he knows the mental game of chess. He knows how to get foul calls on him. He's also a sports loser. He also submarines the teams that he's on. I said it at the time. when the Cavs acquired him. I couldn't believe they did it. I was like, excuse me? They want Harden? Okay. When you get in bed with James Harden, at some point, you will get exactly what you deserve. And that hasn't happened yet to the Cavs, but it's about to. It's about to. Because their run has run out. Seven-game series with Toronto, seven-game series with the Pistons. Even though Sunday was a rocking chair game, a game that they completely boat raced the Pistons in, and they controlled from the opening tip to the end of the game. They didn't even have to break a sweat. That's still seven games after a seven-game series. That's 14 games. That's going to wear on you. At some point, you're going to break, especially when you have an opponent that's tougher that can break you, which is exactly what the Knicks are. And much like against Atlanta, when the Knicks had the size advantage, the toughness advantage, and they were able to exploit it, that's exactly what they have here against the Cavs, who I believe are both mentally and physically weak, especially their bigs. And the Knicks have a clear advantage in the front court. Donovan Mitchell's a great player. He could drop 40 in a heartbeat. He certainly made the correct choice in the baseball team he roots for. But he alone is not enough. Go win you a game. Maybe even two. But he ain't winning you four. And whether it's Allen, whether it's Mobley, the bigs on Cleveland are soft. And the Knicks are going to take full advantage of that as they are playing dominant, historic, incredible basketball. And a lot of credit goes to Mike Brown, who is leading the way on that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Gus is in Ridgewood. What's up, Gus?
Tommy, a good Luke evening to you, my friend. Haven't spoken to you since the Evan and Tiki days. How have you been?
I've been great, Gus. A very happy and pleasant Luke evening to you as well. Happy to hear from you. Hopefully next time it won't be as long of a gap, but I appreciate the call nonetheless.
Absolutely. I would have come over to your watch party last week, but I was DJing one at T-Squared not too far from you, so unfortunately, schedules didn't align.
No worries. I think we're going to have another one coming up. As soon as I get the go on that and the date, I'll throw it out there or on the air and on social media. Hopefully, this one you can make.
Please give me a heads up. Would love to do that. If I'm not DJing one, I would absolutely love to just like link up with you. I wanted to compliment you on a couple of things. So as a DJ and having been a DJ here in New York City for the past 13 years, Your music selection on After Hours is just incredible.
Thank you.
You and Pete Hoffman, one and two, just incredible music selection, you know, coming out of the break. It's just it's incredible. And if I may be so, you know, bold as to say, I actually take some of the songs that you actually put. And when I'm DJing for, and I don't know if you remember this, but I'm one of the Mets outside DJs.
Yep.
I was actually DJing the Subway Series today.
Yep.
I was actually playing, you know, Calling, Lose My Mind earlier today.
Great
and that's
track.
Because you reminded me that it existed. So I wanted to thank you for that. And I appreciate the, you know, the help when it comes to putting together my sets.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you. I put a lot of time and thought into that before the show. I want to set the tone with the music. Two things. Well, three things. I love the music. I want to set a tone, and I want this show to sound different than any other show on the station.
100%. And it absolutely does, and it resonates with me. It's the first time I've actually had a chance to call you, but I've been listening to you ever since you first debuted. And again, very proud of you, brother. Keep on doing your thing.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to many more, you know, awesome, awesome shows. The one thing that I'm going to miss is the Lugash debate series where you
with Sean.
Wiped them out every time.
Yeah. Those were fun for me and Sean, for sure, although we certainly went at each other's throats. I know the audience loved it. We haven't obviously had one since I left the show. I'm sure down the line we will have another one.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to hopefully seeing you guys do that live, maybe at a watch party or something like that. Maybe for a Subway Series watch party.
Yeah, maybe a watch party, or maybe if they do that, because Boomer and Gio, Alan Jerry, Eddie Scazzeri, they're going to be at DJ's on Friday. Maybe if Evan and Tiki have their own version of a summer show, I'll go to it for sure, and then we could do one there.
Awesome. Well, either way, I'm proud of you, bro. Just keep on doing amazing things. And I'll be quick with the with the couple of points that I have on the Knicks. And it's such a great day to be a fan of the orange and blue. Our Mets came back and did what they did. It was just incredible to see that, and very, very pumped up about that. And obviously, very pumped up about the Knicks as well. As a basketball fan, I'm happy that we got Cleveland because it means an extra home game. But as a DJ, I would have preferred it to be Detroit just because I know it would have been going out there for one of the games. But the 2 points that the one question that I have and the other point that I have. The first question is, I'm planning on Game 6 in Cleveland if it gets that far. So my question is, how many Knicks fans do you think are going to travel out for Game 6? Because I know it's not going to be it's not going to be as much of an invasion as it was in Philly. Although I did make the drive for Cleveland Game 5 in 2023, I think it was. So I actually did go to that game with the Obi Toppin win.
Yeah, well, a couple things there, and I'm glad you brought this up. Number one, I don't know if you saw this, but Cleveland is trying to do what Philly did, which is keep Knicks fans out of the building, meaning if you buy tickets off their site and you don't have the zip code is not in the Cleveland area, you're going to be denied. Obviously, that didn't work for Philly. It's not going to work for Cleveland. Now, I don't think it's going 6, but if it does, a couple things that you want to point out here. Number one, it's a Friday. So that's one of those things where you can have a three-day weekend. You can bang off on Friday and bang out and go to Cleveland. It is a drivable, not as drivable as Philly, but you could drive it, or a short flight. And if it's a game where the Knicks could win that and go to the finals, the Knicks fans will show up and show out, because that is one of those ones where you will spend the money to travel to get an opportunity to see your team go to the finals for the first time in decades. So I think a lot of Knicks fans will show up.
I'm completely in agreement with you on that, and the reason I'm asking is because I have plugs in Cleveland at some of the clubs out there. So if it goes to a Game 6, I'd actually love to set up like an invasion party and whatnot. So if that's something that you would actually be interested in taking the trip out for, I think it would be pretty cool to collaborate with you on that.
Yeah. Hit me up offline for sure about it. Like I said, I don't think it's going 6, but if it does, it would absolutely be something that I would look at for sure. No doubt about it, because I've done it before in terms of going to another team's arena. I did it with Philly in a clincher, and it was one of the great experiences. And that wasn't to get to the finals. So obviously it's ratcheted up here. So an opportunity to see them win a game to get to the finals, it's definitely something that I would be absolutely interested in. So hit me up either on Twitter or wherever we follow each other on social media, and we should be
all right.
Good to connect there.
Absolutely. I'll shoot you a DM on Insta after the call for
Okay,
sure.
Cool.
And then I'll leave you with this question. And again, thanks for taking the time with me tonight.
No problem.
I was on record, and I am happy to stand corrected. But I was on record saying that the Knicks should not have fired Thibodeau because he was progressing every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, people in my family, even my own father, disagrees, and he thought the Mike Brown hiring was a complete success. And obviously, I have to capitulate and admit that I have been wrong on that so far. However, if he does not make it to the finals this year, if Mike Brown's team does not make it to the finals, and I'm not trying to put that out there, I'm just asking a question in terms of whether it was worthwhile to make the move.
Yeah, absolutely. You're saying if the Knicks don't make the finals, then basically you're asking me, did they do the right thing in firing Tibbs and hiring Mike Brown?
That's it. That's exactly what I'm asking, whether it's now or at any point in his coaching tenure.
Yeah.
I would have given Tibbs one more year.
Yeah, listen. A couple things. Number one, you hire Mike Brown to win this series, to advance further than Tibbs did. There are a lot of reasons why they let him go. A lot. And they're well documented, but we'll document them again. Number one, I think he was a little too stubborn. Didn't want to work within the confines of his staff, upper management, ownership. Number two, I think there was this feeling that Tibbs teams have a ceiling, which throughout his career they have. I think there was also the idea that he doesn't play the bench. He doesn't develop young players. He hasn't unlocked bridges. He doesn't get the best out of Karl Anthony Towns. And then there's this idea that, and I've said this a lot, there's this idea that, or I said it at the time, I should say, because it's not really been that big of a topic throughout the year. But at the time, I said, everybody wants to point to certain players saying things about Tibbs, like, get him out of here, and not supporting him. And everybody wants to point a finger at the new guys, Bridges and Cat. Okay? And perhaps you're onto something. There are guys in that locker room that carry a lot of weight. If they wanted Tibbs to be here, he'd be here. He'd be here. So, you could pretty much draw your conclusions on the players I'm talking about, but, and this is me speculating, but that's the league. If you are a star player and you want the coach to remain, he remains. Either way, Tibbs is gone. Mike Brown is here, and this team is playing dominant playoff basketball on both ends of the floor. And credit certainly goes to Mike Brown, along with the players, but Mike Brown. And the depth, this is a Leon Rose thing too, acquiring Alvarado at the deadline, bringing back Shamet, signing Clarkson in the offseason, to have that kind of depth, to go along with Deuce, to go along with Mitch, so that you are 10 deep, because if you're going to beat the Thunder, if you're going to win the championship, you can't be 7-8-man rotation. They go 10, you got to go 10. Otherwise, they're going to run you out of the gym. You're not going to be able to compete, just like they weren't able to hold up with Indiana, who also had a very deep bench and would routinely outscore the Knicks bench, the Pacer bench did. Now, the flip side, this year, the Knicks bench is outscoring their opponents every single time. And I expect them to continue to do that. When Bridges was struggling, Clarkson stepped up. When Bridges was struggling, Alvarado stepped up. When OG got hurt, Shamet stepped up. Deuce stepped up. The Knicks didn't have that a couple years ago. When they were up 2-0 on Indiana and OG got hurt, the wheels fell off. Why? Because they didn't have any depth. Now they have that depth. They didn't skip a beat without Anunoby. Because they have the depth, and more importantly, they have the willingness to go to the bench, which they've had all year. Even with guys falling in and out of the rotation at times, Clarkson, Alvarado, Shamet was hurt for a while. These are pros that at a moment's notice are going to be ready to perform in the playoffs, and they have. And then obviously the unlocking of Mikal Bridges, who is playing his best basketball of his Knicks career. After having the worst, just the lowest moment, Mikal Bridges was at his lowest, missed the shot in game two against the Hawks at the buzzer with the game ending. And then in game three, no points, 4 turnovers. He had more turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined in that game. Absolutely pathetic. That was Bridges' lowest moment. There were talks that he was going to be taken out of the starting lineup. Mike Brown did not do that. He stuck by his player. And I think that was enough to give Bridges the confidence that he needed to turn the corner, to become the final Infinity Stone, to be the guy that Leon Rose gave up all those picks for, the guy that was in Phoenix that got to the finals, the guy that early stages of Brooklyn that many Net fans told me was better than Jalen Brunson. Bridges was. That's the player we're seeing now on both ends of the floor. Mikal Bridges was as good as any Nick in that series against the Sixers. He's been unbelievable ever since game 3 against the Hawks. He turned the corner. He finally became the player that we have been waiting for, that Leon Rose has been waiting for. And I think Mike Brown sticking with him, giving him that confidence at his lowest moment, at Bridges' lowest moment, he could have pulled the plug there and nobody, including Mikal Bridges, would have been surprised by it. But he didn't. And even if that's somebody telling Mike Brown what to do, okay, well, he listened. He worked within the committee. And that's one of the reasons why he's here. Leon Rose certainly knows what he's doing. And I don't want to feel like this is... Tibbs built this program up. He deserves a ton of credit. I hope that at some point, because obviously there's bad feelings, hopefully they can mend the fences. Hopefully, because he deserves a lot of accolades. And I know the fans feel this way, but within the organization, like, he deserves a place here in terms of just remembering and just what he did. Absolutely. He definitely deserves that. This team, this franchise, this program was in the depths of sports hell when he got here. And now look at him. Back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to the NBA Finals. And they are as well-run an organization as any team in this city. The Knicks. And all I heard for years was, they'll never win as long as James Dolan is the owner of the team. That's what I heard. They'll never win. Well, they're winning now, aren't they? Who owns the team? The difference is that Dolan finally hired somebody that knows what they're doing. And that changed everything. One of the most important hires in the history of this franchise. Leon Rose, the architect of this team, put all the pieces in place. And now, 4 wins away from the finals, 8 wins away from the championship, a team that has every single necessary ingredient to win it all. You couple that with the experience, with the momentum that they have, with the historical numbers that they're putting up. That's why there's the excitement and just the energy level is through the roof. Because the Knicks are different than anybody else in New York in terms of it's Madison Square Garden, it's celebrities, it's an event, it's New York City, it's in the middle of the greatest city in the world. They are the city's team. When this franchise goes on these runs and they are a great team, it just has a totally different vibe. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Look, we're going to make a ton of this series, of course, but if you feel the way I do, and you're, I'll say it, cocky, overly confident that the Knicks are going to dismantle the Cavs in 5, then I wouldn't blame you if you kept an eye, maybe just one, maybe not both, but just one little eye on what's going on in the Western Conference. I expect the Thunder to win. The Spurs are great. They're going to win a championship with this young core, but they are super young. Wemby, Castle, Harper, all 3 of those guys are under 25 years old. They are very, 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 very talented, but they are very, very, very young. And maybe they get by on that youth and talent in this round. I don't expect it, but if they do, that'll be their championship, and then the Knicks will be at a parade if that happens. But I don't expect it to. I think they'll fight. I think they'll give the Thunder a really good series. It won't be easy for OKC, but ultimately their experience, the home court, the depth that they have, it will be too much for a young, extremely skilled, upstart Spurs team. But it should be a hell of a series. And I'll be rooting for the Spurs, that's for sure. Because I think the Knicks will beat them. The Thunder, the champs, I give them all the respect in the world, no doubt about it. The Knicks will beat the Spurs. Especially when you consider that they were the team they last faced the last time they were in the finals. But ultimately, their inexperience and the idea that they knocked off the defending champs, that's kind of their championship. I think the bright lights in the finals, with everything the Knicks got going on, will be too much. But I, like I said, I expect the Thunder to win that series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Final hour of the show coming up. Al and Jerry come your way at 5 a.m. It's only an hour, and don't worry. Most days, it doesn't suck. At least that's what I've been told. Like every day when I sign off, something about campers and something about the show not sucking and something about Jerry being there and he says hello to the board op. It's very funny. I listen every time now when I drive home. Very, very funny. I love that Al always gets his bleep in. That's what I say. Al's got a list. Jerry could be like, and then I saved this cat from a burning tree. And Al goes, well, did you hear about Diana Rossini and Mike Vrabel? Al's got his list. He's getting through that list, baby. He didn't get here early for nothing. He's getting every point on that list. Because you know Boomer's not looking at the sheet and is going to be bringing up these topics. Anywho, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a Loogie in the Late Night. The phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, After Hours. That's what this is here on The Fan.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.